Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ultra Crop podcast aiming to abolish the idea of good and bad tastes in music, because it's about time we give credit to music in general. Hi everyone, I've been away for a while, but now I'm back and I'm excited about everything that's coming. Today I'm having singer-songwriter Stephanie from Big Journey, a black and feminist punk band based in London. Their first EP, Sister Punk, came out in 2014, and their first album, Sisters, was released in 2018. I can only hope you like their work, because I think they're simply amazing. You may have heard of Big Journey thanks to their beautiful single Cranes in the Sky, which was released in 2020. Or maybe you've heard of their first album, Sisters, released in 2018. The tune Fall Asleep is on it, and I highly recommend that you go and give it a listen. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. Nice and sunny.
Yeah, it's really nice having you here. So, yeah, I've got only one question to ask you. I'm wondering what your crop is today.
Oh, well, I kind of wasn't sure, like, what would fit the criteria, but the song that I've been listening to a lot at the moment is Rain On Me by Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just a bit out of the way of what I usually listen to. So it maybe in that way it could fit the criteria.
Yeah, you're right. That is perfect. As you said, you weren't sure at first. You were hesitating between this one and Bad Romance. What made you pick this one instead?
I think like this one, like Bad Romance, Bad Romance, I genuinely like. I think it's just like a really, really good, well-written pop song. I think Rain On Me is a well-written pop song as well, but it's just a bit more knowingly cheesy,
yeah,
in a way. So it just feels a bit more kind of a bit jarring when you first hear it, but I've just been listening to it and it is really good as well. Like, she's a good pop songwriter.
She is. She's really good. So, yeah, what about it makes it such a special track to you then?
Well, I kind of have only just gotten into it. I didn't really listen to that last album or much of Lady Gaga past, like, her early kind of shock pop days. Because back then it was kind of fun and quite daring and challenging and, I don't know, it just seemed really, really fun to kind of see what she's doing back then. But because I'm not into pop a lot, so I don't really pay attention to what's going on usually. And then when I first kind of heard about it or saw the video, it just seemed a bit, it was like attacking all of my senses. It seemed like too much going on and lots of colour and kind of, you know, this kind of really dramatic video, and Ariana Grande's there, and it just felt like a lot was going on. But kind of listening back to it now and re-listening again, it's just, it is really, really catchy and kind of quite a depressing song as well, actually, kind of about, you know.
Exactly.
I can't remember what the line is. It's just like, I'd rather be drunk, but at least I'm alive. Like, it is quite a intense song, but
it is intense.
Kind of also for the club, which is quite interesting.
It is, yeah. I think there's like a really interesting contrast, like, between the music and, as I said, the music video, because it kind of looks like a video game, really, because there's so much going on, and she's with Ariana Grande and they're both like dancing and all, so it looks really entertaining, but when you listen to the lyrics, it's actually pretty depressing. So how does that song make you feel, actually? How do you receive it, as a sad song, or is it just really entertaining?
I think I receive it as a sad song, and just kind of not, I didn't really realize, I think I assume she kind of wrote it when she was maybe at kind of a down period, which I didn't really realize kind of what she was going through as an artist and what was kind of going on in her life. But it does feel like it's kind of, you know, there's so much kind of overwhelming, that's like, it's, you know, like the rain and those kind of themes of water. It kind of feels like everything's kind of almost drowning her. But then at the same time, like, I think it's like, you know, let it wash away my sin. So it's like, well, that could, you know, that thing that's overwhelming you could also kind of make you reborn and make you anew. And those are always like really good themes in songs, like, you know, every time. That's used.
Yeah, you're right. What about it makes people think it's crap then? Why is that?
I don't know. I think maybe this probably is more me, and, you know, from all I could say is from my point of view, when I first heard it, I just thought it was kind of too much. There was kind of so much kind of jarring about it. It's like very much for like the club and, you know, intense, and like, there's no kind of daintiness, so it's not kind of trying to kind of almost be slightly elegant. It's just kind of in your face, very kind of garish and out there, which is quite like intense when you kind of see everything and all of the video and all of the imagery, and then hear the song at the same time. It just feels really intense. So it was like, this is too much. This is too much pop.
But then
kind of like looking back, and also because I've been like listening back to kind of noughties pop and kind of trying to see if actually that era was something that I didn't like, or if there's kind of something to be taken away from it. I do think there is kind of things to be taken away from it. But there was just a lot of it at the time. And sometimes when it's, when you're there, it's just hard to kind of actually take things in. But yeah, I think because it sounds like, it's a very noughties pop song. It feels kind of almost throwback to like an early Gaga. So that's probably why it felt a bit too intense for me.
Okay. Have you actually tried to put it on like in a room full of your friends? Do you think your friends would actually like it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Like your bandmates, you know, because you're in a punk band. Yeah. So do you think they would actually like it?
I don't know. I mean, I was kind of in a meeting with like some other punks, and as they like, we're supposed to go around and say what we were all listening to. And I said, I've been listening to this song. I've been listening to Lady Gaga, Rain on Me. And it was kind of like a funny moment, just like, it's not usually what I listen to. And it's definitely not punk. Yeah. In any way. But I just find it funny. I just think it's really a really funny but also sad song. I like kind of having that juxtaposition and kind of what you're listening to, and to be able to kind of not just kind of enjoy like the lyrics and enjoy the sound, but kind of get an idea of where people are at and that kind of emotion that can be conveyed. I think it's an interesting way to do a pop song.
Yeah. And I didn't know it because, like, Big Joanie is a punk band for sure. And obviously Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande are huge pop stars. But I was thinking, listening to it, that obviously Lady Gaga doesn't make punk music, but it kind of makes sense though, because like the fact that you actually like this song, not because it sounds like a pop, like a punk song, but she's got a voice that would actually fit like punk music, in my opinion. Do you agree with that?
Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think she's got like quite an interesting voice, and it's kind of not necessarily, I don't know, it doesn't feel like the same as other pop stars for some reason.
Yeah.
And I think she can kind of do like a bit more of the kind of like raw and kind of in your face vocals, and then the softer vocals as well. So I think, yeah, I think she could like one day start her own like punk band or whatever. And that could be really, really successful and really fun. But yeah, and also like, I think, yeah, I do appreciate kind of vocals that are kind of different stylings. And, you know, I listen to a lot of like, you know, like Fleetwood Mac, and that's, you know, kind of a really different kind of genre. And then also was really inspired by like, you know, the Ronettes and the Crystals and that kind of 60s girl group thing. So I do really like kind of that kind of pop vocals. I think it's just like a lot of pop stars, vocalists are kind of always told to be, to fit a particular mold. So that can get a little boring, and kind of what you need to find is someone that's actually just singing like themselves and just kind of doing what they want to do. And that can kind of be, it's not really, it's quite rare actually that you find a pop star that just sounds like themselves rather than, you know, I mean, my brain's gone dead now, but like Khalees doesn't sound like another singer of that time. She sounds like Khalees, and that was kind of what made her stand out. Or Erykah Badu, she's kind of like R&B or kind of whatever, but she still sounds like Erykah Badu rather than anyone else. So yeah, it's just kind of like, just kind of demanding more from that kind of music, because it's, you know, even though it's kind of the more marketable end of like, it needs to sell, it needs to reach certain markets, it needs to kind of do this and this and that, like at least you still need to challenge people and kind of give something, someone a good product, rather than just kind of selling an artist or selling an item to them.
Yeah, makes sense. So because you were hesitating between two Gaga's tracks, does that mean that you're actually like more songs of hers? Like, do you actually like Lady Gaga in general?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like I like the idea of some of her songs. Like, I really, like, I was listening to, like, some, what was I listening to just now? I was listening to Shallow from the movie. I was listening to Poker Face and Bad Romance, and those kind of, so I like when it's kind of really kind of concise, those kind of songs. But then like any particular album material, I probably know I'm probably not going to listen to or going to get into that deeply. Cause it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really hit the same. It doesn't really feel like have the same kind of vibe to it. I don't know how they kind of structure that kind of songwriting. Cause it does feel like it's different to like in the early Beyonce albums, like the singles would be good. And then the rest of the album was just kind of, it could have been anything. It didn't feel related. Whereas now, and like on her albums, it feels like everything is kind of very well structured and like everything's been thought of. So I could listen to like, I love Beyonce's Lemonade because it feels like every song has been thought about at least, and kind of has a different kind of element to it. I think I do like, I like listening to different types of pop structures, and I like listening to that kind of, I like understanding that kind of sound, just because it's to me it's a very strange sound. Like I was listening to like other pop stars of that era, like I was listening to Sia, even though I feel like I don't like the Sia, but I do kind of want to understand more about her. Yeah. I kind of like the idea, I like the idea of her voice. But I don't know if I actually like the songs. Do you know what I mean?
I completely understand that. I think I've got the exact same thing this year, actually. There is a song called, which one is it? Soon Will Be Found. I don't know if you know this one. It's got a nice music, like a nice melody, and it's a pretty sad song and everything. But I don't know. I think it's the same. I find it like a bit cheesy, and I think it goes a bit too far for me. You know, it's a bit too much as well.
Yeah.
It's not as big as her like huge hits and everything, but I don't know. But yeah, sometimes you just like the sound of a voice and it's just enough to make you like a song somehow.
Yeah. Cause it's hard to have like, there aren't many people that just could sing anything. Mm-hmm. I think the only person I would listen to sing anything is maybe Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
And that's just because she had like one of the like rarest voices that possibly ever existed. But
yeah,
that's not everyone. So, you know, it's kind of hard to find that really.
Yeah, true. I don't know about you, but what I found a bit like moving about this song, which I didn't know actually, I listened to it because you told me about it. What I like about it is that I feel like it's one of the very first times now that we put two pop stars together, and we're not really comparing them anymore. You know, like Lady Gaga's from like 10 years ago, even 15 years ago. Ariana Grande is a bit more recent than she is.
Mm.
And I'm a bit sad see that I would usually expect people to compare them, you know, and to make them compete because they're both so huge and so important on the pop scene. And the fact that they actually like did a song together, I think that is quite powerful. It's like this thing with Madonna and Britney Spears, but that was a long time ago. And I'm thinking it was really sexualized. You know, there was fame going on between them in the music video where you can understand that they were like potentially lovers. Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande are just like acting like they're best friends in this music video.
Yeah, it feels really supportive, which I guess is kind of the thing that people... It must be kind of like a good thing in that fandom of just kind of seeing them as kind of like they could be your friends, they could be anyone that you know in a way, but still kind of removed because they're pop stars, because they're celebrities.
Mm.
But yeah, it felt like it wasn't like they were competing, I think, which is a really positive thing. Yeah, I don't know how often that happens. I mean, I guess there are collaborations, but it feels maybe there's been like a different way of doing things lately. And I mean, I think I saw like a Doja Cat and SZA collaboration, and that seemed kind of like a similar vibe of like these are just like two mates that happened to have like made a song together and made a video, which is really fun and like really nice to see actually.
Yeah, it's really refreshing actually, because as girls we've always been so used to being compared to each other because that's what we were told we had to do, you know. Like there's gotta be like a pretty one, there's gotta be a less pretty one and all. And I just like the idea that in this music video, we actually don't really care about that and they're just having a great time together.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It feels like just like a bit of it just feels like they're in a club, but it's just a futuristic
exactly
club where a lot of things are happening.
I would describe your music, with your band Big Joni, as quite raw and, personal. I usually think that punk music, is a bit more personal than the rest of any genre, really. And I guess that what's so surprising about your crap is that it's like the opposite, as you said, like there is a lot going on and they're both so huge and there's, so much going on. And I was wondering if there are a few other songs that you'd like to listen to that can be like compared to this one, like huge pop songs.
I kind of sometimes like to listen to, I mean, I like to listen to different things just to kind of, so I know like what is around and to see if there's any, like, you know, to find if there's any value in a song. Like, you know, you hope that if something's got that big, there is some sort of value in it or something that you can take away from it. So sometimes I listen to like, you know, Whitney Houston, what is it called? I Believe the Children Are the Future, that song. is it Greatest of All? I can't remember. Or, yeah, I listen to kind of, you know, sometimes listen to Adele or, well, that's not crap. Okay, quite like some of Adele's songs, some of the early songs. I think I listen to, it's hard to kind of put it into a particular box, but I think I've been listening to like a lot of kind of noughties indie is what I'd say, and a lot of kind of that era that was around when Lady Gaga was around, just because I think it was kind of like an interesting, I was trying to go look back on it and to see kind of what was actually happening, because I was like you know, either a teenager or kind of just going into uni, and it felt a bit like, you know, that whole kind of reality TV era felt a bit intense. You know, so that's why I wanted to just like look back on what was going on, actually, just to see like what was actually happening.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you're a journalist as well. And so I read while you walked about the Beatles, and I know that you love, well, for example, is right behind you, the Ronettes, and like, old bands, classic bands and everything. And I've been the same for such a long time. It actually took me so many years to, get into, like the current music that was going on, you know, because I was so attached to what was happening before, like during the '60s and the '70s. Are you the same? Did it take time for you to actually listen to what was made, at your time?
Well, I think I was kind of, so at first I was, listening to what was going on at the time, like when I was a teenager, and I was listening to like lots of British indie and then like kind of American emo. But then I got into kind of, Riot Girl. So I started, I guess I was listening to like things that were 10 years before me or 15 years before me, in the kind of early 90s, and I was listening to it in the mid noughties or whenever that was. So then I kind of, because I was in on that track, then I started listening to bands from the 80s. And then I started listening to kind of punk from the 70s, obviously, and that kind of thing. And I do like music, so I would kind of keep up to date with what was going on, but I was always kind of following my own path rather than just going by what was kind of in the chart or what was popular necessarily. I find it hard to kind of listen to things when everyone says it's amazing, because I don't know if that is, it feels like it's really hard to kind of have your own connection to it and have your own kind of relationship with something. So yeah, I think I've just tried to find my own path as a music lover, really, and to kind of take that unconventional path. Yeah. And I think that's just meant that I haven't missed, like, until I was about, you know, 24, I wasn't really listening to many men in bands.
Yeah,
I just kind of took a path that accidentally, I didn't do it on purpose, actually. It just accidentally cut them out. So I didn't actually listen to, like, you know, some of my favourite bands, like Nirvana, I really love, but I didn't listen to them until I was about 24.
Oh, right.
Just because it was like, well, everyone else listens to them, they don't need me.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, and there's so many other bands, there's so much culture out there, and there's so much to listen to. I don't know if, you know, you don't need to like just focus on men in bands or kind of white men that are doing the kind of similar things, and then you can kind of find out the really good ones, and rather than listen to just all the mediocre ones.
True.
You know, so it's kind of worth waiting and then kind of finding out what you actually like about the Beatles or Nirvana or, you know, the you know, Stones or kind of all those artists, because you're not just listening to it vicariously through some other older white man's kind of idea of why they're important. That doesn't really kind of reflect anything that Matt means anything to you.
I completely agree with you on that. Yeah, definitely. In your opinion, what makes a track, a good one then? Because this one was like unexpected for you, because that's not the kind of music that you usually like. When did you realize that you actually liked it?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I was kind of curious about it after a while, because I'd kind of dismissed it, and then, you know, months had passed, or I guess a year had passed since she released that album. And then I was just kind of curious about what it was and what kind of made it popular and why people were kind of interested in it. And then after I listened to it, I realized it was just too catchy, and it was kind of an interestingly built single, in that it is like so intense and so kind of, beat heavy and clubby and, you know, kind of whacks you over the head with all of that. But then it, again, like you're saying, like, it is a really kind of sad song and kind of mournful about kind of like being depressed, but then also hoping for the best. So I just found it really interesting, kind of the juxtaposition of all of those things. And yeah. I think that's kind of what makes a good song, of just not going down the easy route of kind of, she could have easily just kept it just as a club hit and then just put any old lyrics over it and then just left it like that. But actually taking the, you know, less well-traveled path and coming up with these complex ideas that are quite challenging to the narrative of what the instrumentals are doing actually makes it a lot more of an interesting song, and is more insightful to who she is as a person. And then can connect more with an audience, because they can relate to wanting to feel good, but then also not, you know, and having those two sides of you that are kind of completely contrasting, completely opposite, but they're kind of running at the same pace and the same time. So, yeah, I think it's I think it's that.
Well, thank you very much then.
No, thanks for having me. It's been great.
Thank you. And yeah,
all
see
right,
you soon.
Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.